إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, we are coming in the next couple of days to the farewell of the blessed and bountiful month of Ramadan, this being the final day of Al-Jumu'ah in this month of Ramadan. Ramadan is not just a month of fasting, as you all know. It is a month of fasting. It is also a month of prayer. It is also a month of tilawat al-Qur'an. And it is also a month of generosity. Now, the definition of fasting as such is imsak. It is to withhold from taking into the body things that would break the fast, such as food and drink. It is imsak. But in the month of Ramadan, there is also the release. We hold back from taking things in, but we are also encouraged to release as well. Namely, to release through acts of generosity. Generosity in wealth, generosity in spirit, generosity in character, and in so many other ways. There is a direct connection between the month of Ramadan and generosity and giving. It is recorded in the famous narration from Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل وكان يلقاه في كل ليلة من رمضان فيدارسه القرآن فلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود بالخير من الريح المرسلة. In this famous narration, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma tells us that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous of people in goodness. Al itlaq, in a general, unrestricted sense, he was the most generous of people. And he was most generous during the month of Ramadan until the end of it, when Jibreel would come to him and he would recite to him the Quran from memory. And when Jibreel alayhi salam would meet with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was more generous with good than a strong wind that brings forth rain. Kareeh al-Mursala. Here, the word used is ajwad. Ibn Abbas describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by calling him ajwad. And ajwad in the Arabic language can mean a couple of things. It can be derived from the word jawda, which means that which is beautiful, pure, and precious. And it can also come from jood, which means generosity and largesse. And both of these meanings are true for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As being ajwadun nas, he is the most beautiful and the most pure. He is also the most generous in every aspect of his being, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in Ramadan, what this means is the beautiful character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is always beautiful, was even more beautiful in the month of Ramadan. His purity, which was always manifest, was even more obvious in the month of Ramadan. And his generosity, which was constant, was even more apparent to everyone in the month of Ramadan. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah uses very beautiful language in describing that generosity, in saying that his generosity was like a strong wind bringing forth rain. He is saying that the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that bringing forth fresh rain, which drenches what is dry. If you put yourself in their place, living in Arabia, where it's very hot and very dry, and rain is a lot scarcer than it is for us here, in describing him and his generosity as being like a strong wind bringing forth fresh rain, you have the understanding that it's bringing life to what was dead, bringing life and renewal to what was near dead and dry. So he brings life back to what is near dead through his generosity. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is akramun nas wa huwa akramur rusul. He is the most generous of people and the most generous of the messengers. In describing his generosity as being like a strong wind bringing forth rain, this is figurative language, because in reality, if you compare the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a strong wind that brings rain, you have to admit that his generosity is even greater than a strong wind bringing forth a rain. Because winds bring clouds that bring rain, and then those clouds dissipate. They go, the rain falls, and then the earth soaks it up, and it dries up eventually. But the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is far more abiding than that. The rain comes and goes, but his generosity does not. And this is why Ibn Abbas says, أَجْوَدْ بِخَيْرٍ مِنَ الرِّيْحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. More generous, more bountiful than the strong wind that brings forth rain. And in that comparison to rain, we see another benefit. While comparing him to, in his generosity, to a wind that brings forth rain, we understand from rain that it falls indiscriminately. When rain comes and falls in an area, wherever the rain clouds are, everything is receiving a share of that rain indiscriminately. And likewise, and even more so, the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indiscriminate, and it falls and extends to all people. It extends to the good of us and the bad of us, the pious of us and those of us struggling. We all receive something from the generosity of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And indeed, this noble and generous Prophet and Nabiul Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam has told us, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ لَنَفَحَاتِ أَلَا فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. He says, indeed, your Lord has in these days of yours نَفَحَاتِ, these gentle breezes of generosity, and you should therefore expose yourself to them. You have to expose yourself to the gentle breezes of divine generosity, the nafahat, the gentle breezes of specific times, like Ramadan, of specific places, like the masajid, of specific good actions, like fasting in Ramadan, and the nafahat, the gentle breezes connected with being around good people. You have to expose yourself to these. You cannot just hold yourself up and stay away from them, just as you need to be receiving the generous rains as they come down. So this means, dear brothers and sisters, that in exposing ourselves to the generosity, exposing ourselves to the nafahat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, We need to look for those moments and those opportunities for the things that will uplift our souls. This means, just as we withhold from food and drink in Ramadan, which is imsak, we also release by trying to be generous and inspired by the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ. And this means to find those areas in our life where we can be more generous than we already are. To be generous in different aspects. The ulama mentioned over a dozen forms of jood and karam, generosity in largesse. A dozen forms of generosity. And we can find one or two of those that we can connect with in these days of Ramadan and what comes after Ramadan in Shawwal and the rest of the year, where we can be more generous. To be generous with wealth, of course, but to also be generous with people and giving them chances, to give them the benefit of the doubt, to give people a smiling face, to give them something that will inspire them. There are so many forms of generosity. There are only mentioned a dozen. And among those dozen, we have generosity of self. The generosity of your person, which means selfless service, that you help people in various ways, especially when you have absolutely nothing to gain from that service. There's no ulterior motive involved. There's no side benefit you get from helping someone else. That is generosity of self. There's generosity of wealth, which is quite obvious, where a person gives of their hard-earned money for projects and people and things that will bring benefit. There's generosity of comfort, where a person sacrifices their personal comfort for the benefit of others. This could mean giving up a seat. This could mean giving up some of your precious sleep to help someone out and to be there for them. So you're giving up something for the benefit of someone else. There's generosity in knowledge, where you teach people, where you impart something beneficial that's going to help them in this life and help them in the next. Generosity in knowledge is not reserved for the ulama, the scholars. It is for anyone who knows something with certainty from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he or she can convey to others to give them benefit. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Convey from me, even if it is a single ayah, provided you understand it and you're not misinterpreting it. Whatever you have learned from teachers, whatever you have studied, that you really know, it is from generosity to share that with other people. Not to be pushy, but to share what you know, to extend benefit in sharing beneficial knowledge. Likewise, there is generosity of influence, where a person uses their influence to help other people. That can mean you putting in a good word for someone at a job or in school, or to allow someone to use you as a good reference for people in need of work, or to help others by reaching out to your network, by interceding with other people, to use your influence to help others. There's generosity of honor, where you are forgiving, where you are relenting, where you do not hold on to grudges, where you let those things go and you pardon people for their offenses, where you pardon them for their mistakes, where you don't hold on to these things and allow them to eat you up. You let them go, you release them. That is a form of generosity as well. And lastly, we have generosity of spirit and generosity of time. Generosity of spirit is basically being patient with the difficulties of other people. It is being patient with those things that rub against your soul, that irritate you. To be patient, to not assume that you can mold every person to be exactly as you want them to be, but to rather endure patiently with their offenses, to endure the things that rub you the wrong way, to forgive them, to overlook them, and to pray for them. Now the ulama tell us that if a person is having a hard time parting with their wealth, meaning they're lacking in the generosity with money, with wealth, then one of the ways they can become more generous is to develop the generosity of spirit. The generosity of spirit will help you obtain the fruits of generosity and wealth, and will help make you more generous with your wealth, because you have released that tightness in the soul with respect to other people. And generosity with time is making time for people, to bring happiness to people. إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. To make people happy is a great blessing and a great reward, to use your time for that, to use your time to connect with other people, to take out your precious time to help people in various ways. Because as Imam al-Ghazali says, indeed, one of the most valuable things a person has in life is time, which means to give of your time to help other people is one of the most generous things you can do as a believer. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as we come to the last couple of days in this blessed month of Ramadan, there are still opportunities. Let us not fall for the trap of thinking that generosity and khair only exist in Ramadan and somehow we're cut off when the month of Shawwal begins. This is training for the coming months and the rest of the year and the year after and for the rest of our life. So in this month of Ramadan, the month of generosity, of Jood and Karam, we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the means to find the ways to be generous in what remains in these days, and to give us a generosity that extends beyond Ramadan in through the rest of the year in whatever forms we can muster. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد الصادق الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, this deen, this way of life of Islam is a deen of priorities. أولويات. What was the priority for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he first arrived in Medina? The very first thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when he arrived in Medina was to establish the masjid. He built the masjid with his own blessed hand sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every other undertaking, including building homes for the muhajirun, who the majority of whom were poor and essentially homeless, these things were deferred until the masjid was completed. After 13 years in Mecca, where prayers were established in the homes of private individuals without a formal masjid, the priority upon arriving in Medina was establishing a physical space, the masjid, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Ummah. And the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after its construction, soon became what we call a multifunctional complex. It was multifaceted in its services and functions. It was not just for prayers, it was also for other religious and social and political and administrative and cultural functions. And some 1,400 years later, the masjid is the place of Jumu'ah, it is the place of Salat in congregation in Jama'ah, it is the place of Tarbiyah and Ta'aleem, of education, it is the place of even wholesome social leisure. That is the function of the masjid. So no matter where we are in the world, we see that the masjid, the Baytullah, it is the center of gravity for any community. And the ulama say that if there is to be a community anywhere, in any place, there needs to be a masjid established. It is fard kifaya. It is a communal obligation for a community to establish a masjid for the fulfillment of the Jumu'ah and the congregational prayers and these other needs. Now, we are coming at the end of Ramadan. And this is the first Ramadan 2 years after the start of the pandemic where we're actually back in full swing at full capacity with nightly iftars and tarawih every single night, alhamdulillah. We are at full capacity and we have in that sense returned to the pre-pandemic conditions of the house of Allah, walhamdulillahi ala dhalik. And we realize, if we realize anything from this experience 2 years later, one of the great lessons we take from that is the importance of having a space and how much we need each other. Even if many of us come and go, we all need each other. We need a physical space to reiterate and to strengthen the bonds of community. And there are many times in our history as an ummah where masajid were shuttered for some time. Imam Ibn Kathir mentions in his Al-Bidayah wal-Nihayah a number of examples when masajid were closed for extended periods of time due to people dying, either due to war, invasion, or even pandemics. This is a reality that humanity has faced many, many times in its history. Those masajid that were shut down, they were also, alhamdulillah, by Allah's grace, opened back up, and life returned to normal, as it tends to do. But masajid do not reopen and begin to function again as they did before without community, without support, without people maintaining that connection. And maintaining that connection, having that attachment, having that devotion to establishing centers, masajid, and attending those masajid, and loving to come to the masajid, that is the quality of one of the seven types of people who will be shaded beneath the throne on the Day of Judgment. One of those types of people, as said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ, the person whose heart is attached to the masajid. Masajid do not operate independent of the community that prays in them. Masajid are a waqf. Masajid are an endowment that are established, that is established لِلَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامِ. It is established as an endowment to serve the ummah until the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah ta'ala. And it's a communal obligation to establish masajid in communities. And so, at the tail end of Ramadan, just a few days left before we are celebrating Eid, inshaAllah, we are reminded that al-Nabiyul Kareem, the most generous prophet, who is ajwadun nas bil khayr, who was the most generous and bountiful of people in goodness, was most generous in the month of Ramadan. And so we ask Allah Ta'ala to inspire our hearts in these few days to continue that generosity in the support of the masjid, in support of the programs, in support of the individual believers who come and benefit and receive from the khayr that Allah gives them in this sacred space. May Allah Ta'ala give us a Ramadan that models the Prophet's fasting and his generosity, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to make our fasting and our giving a means of tahara, of purification, and maghfirah, forgiveness, and qurb, closeness and nearness to him. Jalla wa ala, ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab al-nar. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.